The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
There's fishing happening all around Bristol Bay this evening, but not a lot of catch. The catch has gone past 100,000, or 200,000 rather, and the total run is over 500,000. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's June 21st. I'm Dave Benninger. Molly Dishner will be back tomorrow. Coming up, word from the Igigig River today.
I'd say we had a little peak earlier, and so now they're just starting to trickle in again.
Set netter Eddie Clark tells us how it's going there, plus Fish and Game's Paul Solomon and Tim Sands join to talk us through their districts. And holy smokes, Togiak herring is all the rave right now in Seattle.
Yesterday I ate herring five times, and today this is my third of the day. And this was a wood-fired grilled herring on a, you know, with a warm potato salad, got a little bit of a kick to it with a red wine vinaigrette.
When we tell you about some of the recipes top chefs are cooking up there, you can tell us what it is you got paid per ton this year and last. Those stories are coming up tonight, but first, the data. Naknek Quijack is fishing on its schedule till Thursday, but the catch so far there has been light. Ugashik fishes its scheduled opener through 11:59 p.m. tonight. And Igigig Set and Drift Fleets wrap up an 8-hour opener tonight at 8 p.m. Togiak's open on the weekly schedule. Nooshigak Set Netters are open tonight and again tomorrow afternoon. Drifters are open in this in the Nooshigak District till 9. Agushik Set Netters are open till further notice. Yesterday's catch was about 100,000 sockeye bay-wide, bringing the season total to 207,000. Escapement was 87,000, 330,000 now the total across the bay. Total run is just over 500,000 sockeye. By district, Ugashik catch Monday, 18,000 fish, season total 22,000. Ugashik Tower not yet counting, so no escapement. Igigig District catch, 48,000, season total now 100,000. Igigig River escapement, 24,000, total 120,000. Naknek Quijack catch, 7,200, season total just under 10,000. Naknek River Escapement, just 6,400, total 15,000. Quijack River Escapement, 160 yesterday, total still less than 1,000 fish. Nooshigak District Catch, 25,000 sockeye, season total 74,000. Nooshigak River Sockeye Escapement, 22,000, season total 107,000. Nooshigak Kings, 7,900 past the sonar yesterday, total 71,000. Wood River Reds through 6 a.m. today, 42,000, season total 98,000. Blue cards are dropping fast. Here's the latest by district as of 4 p.m. today. In Igigig, 303 permits on 240 vessels. In Ugashik, 133 permits on 99 vessels. In Naknek Quijack, 247 on 211 vessels. In Nooshigak, 392 on 300 vessels. And in Togiak, 15 on 15. I spoke with set netter Eddie Clark earlier today about his Igigig River fishing so far.
I'd say we had a little peak earlier, and so now they're just starting to trickle in again. And like in between the little peaks, they're smaller, and when we get a little bunch of fish, then they're a lot larger, which we're supposed to have anyway. You know, we don't have a whole lot of boats and not a whole lot of fish either. So it's starting and everything's good.
Says not everything's good. The internet's been a little shaky down on the beach.
I did get to see the Port Mueller numbers. Our internet, our HughesNet, isn't real good. But it'd be interesting. I'd sure like to hear what Port Mueller's doing. You guys might do that on your report, too.
Well, we would, Eddie. But tonight, the word in from the crew is that they're still fishing. This just in minutes ago and can't give specifics regarding the daily catch index. Scott Rayborn writes to say, however, as of now, it seems the index will be similar to what it was on the 18th of June. As you recall, the Pendalis was weathered out of 2 days from the storm. Elsewhere, Area M hauled in 87,000 sockeye yesterday and 173,000 pinks, still mostly coming from the Shumigans and the South Unimak Island districts. Pencils down, that's it for tonight's. data.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on AM 670 KDLG. I'm Dave Benninger. Fish and Game's Paul Solomon is closing off effort in Igigik tonight at 8 p.m., and the Ugashik District closes by schedule at 11:59 p.m. We checked in with him early afternoon to see what's next. Paul, good to talk to you as always. Walk us through your districts here. What do you like so far, and how are they doing today, if you've gotten any word?
I haven't gotten any updates today. It's still kind of early in the opener. They opened at noon, so it's 2 hours or so into it at this point. So they may have a set or and some change out of the water. The volume isn't really all that large right now, but it's going up slowly on a day-by-day basis, and that's about what we see many years at this time. Volume is 40 to 60,000 fish in the district, and we're catching some and we're letting some through. And those are just kind of round numbers.
Explain to me the Ugashik escapement. We don't see any yet. Is the tower there? What's the story behind that?
The tower is not scheduled to get started till probably Monday or so. 26th, 27th is normally when we start getting data. The crew should come in tomorrow or the day after, and we'll get them prepped and launched over the weekend. So we don't have data yet, but one thing to keep in mind, as always with Ugashik, is the fish going through the district right now won't reach the tower for 5 to 7 days yet. So in that perspective, the fish that are traveling in the district today would reach the tower about the time the crew's operational.
Okay, all right. Igigik River, the catch has been pretty good for the last 2 days, or slowly building anyway, as has escapement. Where does this sit historically? Are you on kind of a nice curve at the moment?
We're a little ahead of the historic curve, but a lot of that's got to do with what we did over the weekend. We took the day off on Saturday and Sunday, and we took about 65 or 6,000 fish up river then. A lot of that was due to the storm pretty much emptying out the district, although there is something behind it. So the numbers are a little bit higher for that reason, number one. And number two, we started the tower 5 days earlier than we normally do, so we have five additional days of escapement data that we wouldn't have normally at this time. And the last 3 years that we've done that, it's been up and down. So there's been a couple of years when it's been pretty strong, earlier run timing, and a couple of years where it really hasn't amounted to much. This year, I think we've got about 25 or 30,000 fish extra during those days we're in there. Most of that came off of 1 day. So it's pulsy, it was pulsy in that period of time. And it's kind of settling into somewhat of a steady rhythm right now, but it's not big yet. And if folks remember from last year, we were having 500 boats catch about 50,000 fish for a few days before the run really hit. And we're kind of in a similar time window right now and a similar volume with a lot less people fishing on them. I think that the registration is a little bit north of 200 right now.
Port Moeller didn't fish for 2 days there, the Port Moeller test fishery. How important will that data that you see today be for you when that comes in?
What we get from Port Moeller is at times insightful and at other times not so insightful. One of the strongest tools we have there, or one of the things we get from, are the age composition from samples and then a genetic breakdown from samples, but they actually have to get the samples before we can get that information. And this year, because of weather, it's been kind of intermittent and not terribly useful at the moment. So if they can continue to fish, then we can begin to get that data stream flowing. But it's been intermittent, and not when it does that, it leaves holes that we have a tough time interpreting or anticipating. So its biggest strength is in a continual operation. And they're having some trouble this year with weather, as everybody else has been.
Let's see, one more. You've notified the fleet in both Igigik and Ugashik. They should stand by at 9 a.m. tomorrow. What do you need to see before you decide to turn them loose for some more fishing on Wednesday here?
Well, the reason I did it that way was not to pin myself into an announcement later today when I haven't got the information from today's fishery yet. So by tomorrow morning, I'll have a couple of more data points from my tower in Igigik. And I'll have a couple of more in-river test fish points, plus I'll also have information from today's harvest. And the reason for 9 o'clock tomorrow is so that I can have enough time to get that information together and still give the fleet enough time to react if we decide to go tomorrow afternoon. So that would depend on how escapement goes today and how catch goes. The last couple days, yesterday anyway, we had about 75,000 fish in the district. Just using the numbers that I have, we caught about 50 of it, and we escaped about 25 of it, which is an okay relationship for now. I'd like to pace it a little bit slower the next day or two, but I have to wait and see how effective the fleet is before I can make that call.
All right. Well, we'll hear from you, I'm sure, first thing in the morning or by tomorrow sometime. And I want to thank you for the update here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Paul Solomon speaking to us from the King Salmon Fish and Game Office. Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome, Dave. Have a good day.
On the other side, the Nooshigak fleets have had a couple of openers with not much to show for them yet. Seems like the pace lap before the Indy 500. Fish and Game's Tim Sands offered a brief update of his thinking earlier today.
Right now, it's early. I mean, the cumulative escapement in the Wood River was just below 100,000 this morning. You know, we're most years we wouldn't have even started fishing yet, and we've had a couple openings. And that was part of the strategy this year, to be a little more aggressive. We're doing really well on escapement in for Kings and Sockeye in the Nooshigak and for Sockeye in the Wood River. So we're feeling pretty good there. And we want to take little bites each day here to see what's out there and guard against a big push showing up and to give some opportunity to folks, but also not kill everything that's out there and let some fish get through so we keep a steady escapement going.
Any thought on this run at all here? Does this seem familiar to any year past in your mind? Does it seem like it's coming early or late or right on time, or what do you think?
It's too early to tell for me. I mean, it's certainly the Nooshigak Sockeye escapement is really strong for us early as it is. To be ahead of the Wood is, I think, unusual, and that's a good thing. Other than that, it's too early to really say much, I think.
Tim Sands, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Dave.
Bob King here for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. So what chilling system is best for you? RSW is the gold standard, but you don't have to go there immediately. Slush bags work, ice is available. The first step, insulate your hold for better fish quality and a bonus price. Bristol Bay is chilling, and we can help. Call 439-3566 for more information. For the Bristol Bay RSDA, I'm Bob King. Good luck and good fishing.
The herring is the king of the sea, the herring is the fish for me, the herring is the king of the sea. Sing, father, I'll diddle all day.
Oh, what'll I do with me herrings, and I'll make it into a loaf of bread, I'll make it into a loaf of bread and all sorts of things.
The herring is the king of the sea, the herring is the fish for me, the herring is the king of the sea.
Last night, the captain and crew of the Skagerrak shared a fresh-caught cod dinner with me. Delicious. They also shared something they noticed in the hometown paper, and that was a major push of Togiak herring in some of Seattle's fanciest restaurants and grocers right now. It's called Northwest Herring Week. It's happening through Sunday, and this is the second year it's going on. Seriously, top chefs, phenomenal recipes. Well, I had to learn more about that, so at lunchtime today, I called this guy.
My name's Bruce Schockler. I'm a recovering herring fisherman, and I am the global food aid director at the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, and I live in Kodiak. I'm at the Miller's Guild restaurant in Seattle, and you know, there's something close to 40 different restaurants here in the Seattle area that are featuring this Alaska herring fillets that came from Togiak last month. And we've got to eat all of them in just 5 days. So yesterday I ate herring 5 times, and today this is my third of the day. And this was a wood-fired grilled herring on a, you know, with a warm potato salad, got a little bit of a kick to it with a red wine vinaigrette, and it had some real nice seaweed. Even it looked a lot like our local popweed in Alaska. With some sort of a little citrus thing all over. It was just absolutely wonderful.
as I took a look down the list of restaurants and their offerings this week, and we'll come to what this is in a second, I'd say about half of them I wouldn't even bother trying to pronounce. They're all very fancy, so to speak. Is there what's been your impression so far?
Well, it's been all over the board. The name does not necessarily make it fancy, believe me. We've had herring fritters. We've had a herring pate. We've had numerous types of, of a whole filet with a French twist to it, with a Spanish twist, flavorings all over the board. And like I say, we just got started, so we're going to be doing this every day as we move through the list. Hopefully we can get through all the lists before everything's over or we get tired of eating the herring. It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, it'd blow your mind when you... if you go on the website, you'll see the photos of these different dishes, and they taste absolutely just as wonderful as they look. It's really something.
Well, that is something that has been talked about quite a bit over the past couple of years as the price has fallen for the roe market. Is what else to do with these beautiful, big, oily Togiak herring? Our friend Warner Liu is trying a nice smoked can product that he'd like to get out there to the market a bit. The participating chefs and restaurants here are trying all number of things. What's your impression so far? Are people taking to the idea of eating herring here on the in the West Coast in the Seattle area? There,
they seem to like it. I mean, we'll see. You know, I've got these herring were produced over in Naknek by North Pacific at their red salmon plant, and they were nice enough to donate this to the cause. So we'll see what the reaction is. But just to give you an idea of what I'm expecting, we did this last year. We had 8 restaurants. And, you know, we've increased that by a factor of 4 this year. And we still have people calling and wanting to, other restaurants calling. And, well, is it too late to get involved? So I'm expecting that everyone's going to really like what they see, and the chefs and the restaurants are going to be pleased that they did it.
Bruce, I talked to you a couple of years ago, and there was an effort to can some herring and try to get it into the global food aid market. And now we've gone all the way from that up to let's put it in the foodies market here in the Seattle area. What's your hope? Are you just hoping to find a better home for herring in we have this great biomass up here. Are you hoping to see us benefit from it more, or what's the deal?
Well, that's exactly it. I don't have any great expectations of anything specific, which is why we're working on everything from using it as an ingredient, even as a extracting 100% of the protein out of it and using it as a nutrition powder, all the way to something in a fine dining restaurant, to fish. I'm hoping somebody does a fish and chips with it. To the canned end of it, to working as a shelf stable product in the food aid business. The whole point of the exercise is, as you said before, I've fished herring for the last 35 years, and I'm not doing it at the moment. And there's no real point in it. There's no money in it. It's almost a waste of time. So if we could add to this market, and specifically, these fillets were done with were made out of the males. So as long as we're still into the roe market, there's no reason we can't take the males that are of no value, other than the carcass value, in Japan, where they're sort of eating them for free. These were filleted and then straight females sent over there. So if we could just bring up the value of half of the harvest, that would be a big deal. You know, folks north of Togiak that really don't have a market for their fish anymore for any reason, maybe some of those villages and some of those communities up there could start doing it. So we're just really happy with that it's gone where it has, and the canned work that we've done the nutrition values that came out of that when we were working in Africa were nothing short of unbelievable. I think everyone was surprised. I'm hoping we can hit a critical mass one of these days, and bingo, we'll be doing something besides just doing it for fun as a roe fishery.
Bruce Shockley, thanks so much, and we'll check in with you and find out what was the best at the end of the week.
Yeah, give me a scream anytime, Dave.
No one'll undo me herring's tail. I'll make it into a bottle of ale. I'll make it into a bottle of ale and all sorts of things.
Herring's tail, a barrel of ale. A herring's gills, a windowsill. A herring's back, a laddie go jack. Herring's fins, a needles and pins. A herring's eyes, a puddings and pies. Herring's head, a loaves of bread and all sorts of things. The herring is the king of the sea. The herring is the fish for me. The herring is the king of the sea. Sing a little all day.
Catchy tune there. That's just about it for tonight's show. Marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay waters. West winds 10 knots, becoming southeast after midnight, seas 2. South winds 10 knots tomorrow, seas at just a foot. Tomorrow night, southwest 10, seas 2. In the area from Port Hyde to Cape Sarachef, marine weather forecast tonight. South winds picking up to 25 knots, seas up to 4. Tomorrow, south 25, seas up to 6. Tomorrow night, southwest winds 25 knots, seas up to 7, small craft advisory going into effect. We'll have more analysis of the run and more stories from the fishery tomorrow. If the port molar numbers come down very shortly, you'll have them in the 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. rebroadcasts of this program. If not, catch them first thing in our morning news at 7:04. I'm Dave Benninger. Keep in touch by phone or email. 842-5281 is the number here at the station. And Dave, Molly, or Fish at KDLG.org. Enjoy all this sunshine. Days are getting ever so shorter now. Can't wait to feel those autumn breezes. Good night.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.